I'm Robin Crane, and this is the Growing Your Financial Business the Woman's Way podcast. Listen, I was a financial advisor for over a decade, and I got so sick of the old archaic strategies that your grandpa used to get clients. What the industry teaches today is still so outdated and just doesn't work anymore. So I had to find a better way for myself, and then I got obsessed with sharing these how-tos with other women like me. The stuff I teach doesn't require giving up your life, your sanity, or your family time. I want women like you to have it easier than I had it, so you can thrive in the industry. I've now helped thousands of women grow their financial businesses to multiple six figures, some even seven figures per year. So on this podcast, you're going to get an inside look at how they did it so you can do it too. Let's dive into the show.
Welcome, welcome. I am here with Jen Dawson, who's a CFP and Managing Director and Senior Wealth Advisor of Hemington Wealth Management. Actually, she lives in Chicago. She's been focusing on helping women lawyers, which, again, I talk a lot about niching your business. And I don't usually say niche, but being very specific with your target marketing. So she's done that, had success there. She even co-authored a study about women of wealth called What Do Breadwinner Women Lawyers Want? And she's a working mom and has an impressive track record with her practice, 15 years of experience. A lot more there, but like the cool thing is like she is in your shoes. Like, you know, sometimes we have people come on, they're in marketing or they're like, they have no idea about the industry. And like you lived it for 15 years. So tell them a little about your story and how you got into the industry and what's kind of happening, state of affairs with Jen and your CFP business now.
Sure. I'm so pleased to be here. I'm excited to be talking to you today, Robin. And so I'm a math nerd by background, ran in college, went to South Carolina, I was a Gamecock, and then went directly from undergrad to a PhD program in mathematics. And I thought I wanted to teach mathematics at the university level. And then I was in a room by myself doing creative mathematics and just miserable. And a couple of panic attacks later, I did end up leaving and found a headhunter in Chicago. I'd always wanted to live in the city. And so I said, I love numbers, but I need people to be involved. So they placed me at a firm in the West Loop of Chicago. And then I was taking the CFP classes and my tax teacher recruited me to a firm that I was at for 10 years before I made the switch to join Hemington almost 6 years ago. Hemington is based in DC. I was recruited to Hemington by our founder. She's an extraordinary, awesome working mom as well. Working mom of five, I should say. I mean, she is, wow, amazing. Yeah. And she, a Harvard MBA, I mean, she's like amazing. And we were on a panel together talking about how to serve breadwinner women. She wrote a women in wealth study. We co-founded the or co-wrote the Breadwinner Women Lawyers. Anyway, it's a story about like you should always be networking, always, you know. And she asked at the time if I was looking to move firms, and I know I'm so happy, you know. And then just stayed in touch, just reached out to be on another panel. And so Eileen O'Connor is amazing and a great example. Like I said, you never know where things lead, and so saying yes to opportunities. Opportunities and helping in the industry. And that's what today is too. It's fun to meet all, you know, awesome women that are like-minded and we can all learn from each other. So excited to contribute.
Awesome. Awesome. I love that. And that's, I'm thinking about possibly starting a firm, you know, and maybe working, you know, recruiting some women, like amazing women. I want it to be like the best. If I'm going to do it, it's going to be like, you know, in my view, like the best advisory firm on the planet, of course, with women. But it's interesting to think about because I'm so not in that role of like recruiting and thinking, you know, like, okay, who can I bring over? But that she saw your talent. She had the persistence and also the patience to just be like, okay, when it's ready, it'll work. So, so I know you said, you know, we kind of talked about before, like, well, where do we want to focus? Cause there's so many areas we can focus. And you mentioned about, you know, leading internally and client relationships by living your best life. And you said specifically the importance of pausing. So I have to pause when I say that pausing. Wellness practices and deep conversations. So let's talk a little bit. That's kind of a lot. So give us some examples or tell us a little about how you've used that in your practice to have us to grow a successful practice and what that really means to you.
Gosh. Okay. Yes. I love this. The power of pausing is huge. And when I made the change 6 years ago, I had a non-solicit. And so I was not starting with a big group of clients. I was kind of starting from the ground up. And so I had to be really intentional about how I wanted to grow. And so I did this like on a quarterly basis. I would take a full day, think about what do I want, you know, the next 90 days to look like. And I can, you know, micromanage myself and pretty, it's like, you know, how, what's my calendar going to look like? And now it's morphed into, I have these amazing group of clients. And I need to take care of myself first, right? It's the whole, like, you can't pour from an empty cup. And So my 90-day planning has turned into like a little bit of self-care, a little bit of strategic planning, but also like what life planning. And so I just encourage women advisors to have that holistic perspective, because it benefits you and it benefits your family and your clients and your team. And it's you're more than just the advisor that shows up to talk about how your portfolio did last year, you know. And if you can be balanced yourself and have and be thoughtful and like curious and follow passions that are outside of work, you're going to be more interesting. You're going to be more interested in your clients. And it's just going to be a greater level of relationship, if that makes sense. So
yeah,
I love the like 90 day. And actually, women think it's such a weird thing. And so now I go to a hotel and I love my husband and my two kids. But to get out of the house and just have some space to think is huge. And I've so last couple of times I've done it, I've invited friends in my network to join. And I do think I don't have a passion to start a new, you know, venture with these retreats, but it is, it's so valuable, and you can see it pay off. A little bit of investment in yourself and giving yourself space and time can go a long way.
Yeah. When you believe in it, I'm not going to tell you what it is. He said business development.
Oh, yes.
Like, have you invested a lot in yourself to like get to this level?
My goodness. Yeah. And I've always been a fan of business development. So I know that's a little bit, you know, maybe different than some, but if you can think of it, I just think it's scared by sales. It's if you can reframe it in your mind is like, how can you help more people? How can you make it authentic to you? And I mean, if I tell people, if you're not having fun doing business development, then there's something off. Like, it should be a passion of yours that you combine with work and authentically something you enjoy. So whether it be like, I had a golf group for many years, more so before I had kids, but the boss lady would go golfing every other Friday of the summer. And it was a bunch of attorneys and me. And that was part of why I have the specialty that I do, because I just became one of them and can understand how they think and the real issues they face. So it's beneficial from a networking. It's beneficial from, like, again, you know, having those relationships and understanding how they think. But I also think as a woman advisor, you just have so much more choices and power when you're not afraid of, okay, I can bring in my own clients. Like, I can find COI relationships that, again, feel authentic. You like those people. You're just helping each other help mutual clients. And it turns, you know, it's fun. So
awesome. So when you say business development, you say like a focus, or like an active focus on growing your business, it sounds like.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Absolutely. Whether it be client referral, COI strategy, you know, specialization, like we talked, you know, touched on. But just having a strategy. And like you said, you invest in yourself. Heck yeah. Like, it is. And women struggle to do this, but a coach, like having a third party that is your cheerleader, is your therapist a little bit, is your, you know, guidance person and just sounding board. But it's been incredibly, I've been coached by the best. And whether it's the big picture strategy, it's like the day-to-day blocking tackling, business development, a lot of it is resilience, right? And just being confident and comfortable in the plan. And then if you get caught up in the sales goals and all that, that can be really stressful versus, okay, I know I'm doing the right tactics. It'll all lead the right place.
How did you decide on lawyers? Because I had like one of the women in my program, I talk about cloning your ideal client. So who is that one person that if you got like 10 times, you'd be able to reach your revenue goal, if not exceed your revenue goal. And sometimes you can already say there's someone in your book of business, so you can clone them. Sometimes you're like, well, they're in my warm market and like we have a like relationships. It might be weird to try to convert my friend, but like if I cloned that person. And then the third level is like, okay, well, I'm just going to pick out of the World Wide Web someone I can find with maybe a job title like a lawyer. And Tracy actually chose women lawyers and started to target them. And so that like became known as the person, like the go-to person to get, you know, to work with women lawyers. So how did you come about that? Was it by accident? Was it intentional? Or did you, how did you create that?
Yes, very intentional. And it was at my prior firm, we hired a consultant to figure out, okay, we're at a size where it's really hard to drive growth when you get to a certain size, right? And we need to be more intentional. It can't just be reactionary COIs. And so it was let's go deep for people that are focused on business development, look at our client base and figure out, okay, where do we have a lot of consistencies with who you serve, and then who do you serve really well and have that ideal client. So it was lawyers in general. And then my job in that first year of this strategy was to go out and talk to as many thought leaders, competitors that also serve that group, the target market themselves. And there's one other, but it basically to have all these interviews. And I talked to 113 people that year to talk to them about, okay, what are your biggest issues in your profession and with your money? And that, you know, how do you get your news? Those kinds of questions. And fascinating. And my biggest of all of those interviews, one of the biggest things was, like, a lot of lawyers are miserable. And even the happy ones report that they are surrounded by miserable lawyers. And that a lot of, especially the women lawyers and the study that we did, which you referenced, this white paper, it showed that 30% of the women that took our survey, and this was consistent in my conversation, wish they'd never gone to law school. I mean, it's like a sad story in some ways. And then we need more women at the top of the legal profession. So I get all fired up. And I, like, lawyers are heroes in many of these situations. And I'm like, we need to support them better so they don't feel so crunched. And so it was obviously, I attuned to the money issues that they face. And there are some unique, you know, pay structure, K-1 income, you know, that's the way to like, I can help with that. But, and beyond just those things, but also like the life stuff, and especially the sandwich generation, you know, aging parents and kids and, you know, billable hours, and just how much pressure they're under. So I can help create this financial plan that gives them the freedom to have a plan. Like, if they wanted to step back, they could do that. Or if they want to lean in and just outsource every detail of their finances, we can help them do that too. So I get really excited about the big picture project. And I think that comes through, right? Like, if you, whatever you pick, it can't just be, like you said, look on the World Wide Web and like, oh, this would be a good target. You know?
Yeah, I mean, it. But interestingly enough, like, interviews is like a big thing that we teach. And when, because my husband has a hybrid book publishing company, a lot of, like I said before we started recording, I'm like, oh, you should turn that into a short book, you know, because it's like, oh yeah, a book carries all this like authority, but we actually teach a whole system around interviewing. So it's very interesting that, like, we've never met, you've had a different coach. And then the success point that you're talking about that got you to niche your business, which I'm assuming ended or resulted in like very big wins financially for you, and also transformational wins for them, of course, is like this idea of interviewing. And it makes so much sense if you take a step back and you say, okay, well, if I get really curious about, well, what are the issues and what do they want? What's holding them back? That's what creates messaging. It's like, what do they want and what's holding them back? And that's what people respond to. And I've been talking about this lately because I'm like super obsessed with like this idea of this financial future is female. And I was thinking about how, and I heard this from a copywriter in one of my masterminds, how we have been like, just like, the marketers are talking about direct response marketing. Like, that's how it has been. It's like, we're trying to get people, if you do Facebook ads, most advisors don't, but it's like, you want to get people to click and go to the next step. And it's direct response, meaning there's a direct response. And same with like anything, it's like even direct mail. It's like, we want people to get this and then respond to call you or to go to a link or something. And what he was talking about, this copywriter, he was saying it's moving to emotional response marketing. And so it's like, instead of trying to get people to act, we're trying to get people to feel. And he was saying, like, the difference is, like, when people feel, like, they get, there's a lot more loyalty there, and there's a lot more even connection there. And this is like this realization I came to just, I don't know, within the last couple of days with this idea of the financial future is female, that it's not just women in the financial industry, but just like you're saying, this male dominated field in law and, you know, attorneys, like, if we have more of a presence in these higher professions as women, we'll make a bigger impact. And the emotional response, like, it makes sense that women are going to naturally be better at that, right? And we're going to be able to drive an emotional response because we are much more emotional beings than the average male, you know? So I think, like, I really think there's this whole paradigm shift right now with where I'm trying to create this movement around like having more of a female presence, but I think the world is asking for it because it's not just women saying like responding to this emotional response. It's men too. It's like, it's not enough to just make a big promise and then like people just like they buy stuff, you know, and it's like, oh, a big promise. I'm just going to go for it because that's how it's been. It's like, I got to believe that you're not just going to try to sell me crap. I got to believe you're going to care. I got to believe you're going to, you know, ask me questions and listen. And then I want to take action because it's all everybody's been saying for decades and decades and decades. It's all about the know, like, and trust factor, right? So are you noticing that? Are you seeing that, especially, you know, among the clients that you're working with and the marketing that you're doing?
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, for sure. And I tell women, and sometimes, you know, talk to universities, is it's such a good profession for women because there's absolutely, and I think more and more as behavioral finance becomes more mainstream and talked about, that is an area where women really can read the room and can empathize with your feelings about how you feel about the market. And we're so well attuned. And it's not to say like teams of women and men are a great balance, right? But in general, a huge opportunity for women, absolutely. And the secret, like dirty little secret, is that men like the approach too, right? Like you talk about, if you have more feelings and like, am I going to be okay? Versus like, what did the S&P do last quarter? You know, and like the really important conversations. And so what we have found, and we get the question all the time, is okay, our firm focuses on serving breadwinner women, not women in transition, which is like, you know, and certainly not just women with a pink bow around a financial plan. Like, no, it's decision-making, awesome, breadwinning women. And we get the question, okay, well, does that turn away men? And it's really this lovely selective filter for men that care about the women in their life and are, we call them enlightened men, that really love our approach and care about and make sure that, of course, the investment strategy is solid and we're doing all the technical financial planning, but then also have the more human approach and the more customized and comprehensive conversation that both women and men love. So hopefully that answers.
So I think what you're saying is like, you're also attracting men, even if the men are not breadwinning women, right? But that's exactly what happens when you plant your flag and you're like, this is who we're best at helping. Because what happens immediately when you say like, we help breadwinner or breadwinning women, is that you have immediate authority and credibility. It's just like when you have a book, it's like, there's this perception that if you are not trying to work with anybody and everybody and just like, if you have a pulse, which is a lot of what they teach in the industry when you're first starting, if you have a pulse, then I can help you, you know? And it's like, that's the desperation. It doesn't get any high net worth person or client going like, oh, I want to work with you. When you say you help these people and you help these people in this way, you have immediate credibility. And now there's like no desperation there because I have to actually, if I'm a dude, I have to earn the right to get you to want to work with me going like, hey, I know you help breadwinning women, but you know, I'm not a woman, but I have a wife and I care about her. And could you help me? Because it sounds like if your approach is helping them, it would be awesome helping me. So that totally happens. I had this one woman, she wrote a book called Woman on Top, Karen Koenig. She used to work at Boeing in this male dominated industry. And so she was talking about kind of similarly, like similar stuff we're talking about right now, just like women and how hard it is, a male dominated industry. And so when I was working with her, it was like, okay, let's really get clear on who you want to help. And so she was like, women at Boeing or, you know, in the airline industry and that sort of thing, and male dominated industries. And she was like super targeted with her messaging about women and at Boeing even. And all these men would come up to her and like, can you work with me? Can you work with me? Because it's like, now she was like, she said, no, you had the credibility, not feeling like any sort of desperation. And she was attracting more men than women by saying she works only with women. It's kind of like dating. It's like, you want what you can't have. Like, no, I'm not seeing, you know, I'm not available right now. Well, in that case, I really want to chase you to get there. Right. So that's cool.
For sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I like that.
So I think it's also interesting that you said, I think you said major or whatever in math, mathematics. You say that? Mm-hmm. You didn't even say math. You said mathematics is like super like, you know, proper or something. But which is, I always find, I remember, I think when I became a financial advisor, and I remember thinking like, this is not an industry for me. Like I'm bad at math. Like I have no interest in money. I mean, yes, I like the idea of having it, but not really, because I had already guilt and shame around it somehow. Like, oh, well, you know, I don't need that much money. I worked at a nonprofit and I was a singer-songwriter before that, you know? So like the idea of money was like, I don't really get it, even though I was very, very driven in many ways. And then it was, my first interview was more of a presentation. And this woman was actually a woman and she was very young. She was 27. And she said to this group of like 10 of us, what you're really doing is you're helping people pay, you know, buy a house, pay for college for their kids and retire comfortably. And I was like, wow, there's something noble about this. And like, I can get behind that mission. Like I'm into that because I want to help people. I want to make a difference as a singer-songwriter. I didn't feel like I was doing anything very worthy. I was just having fun. And I sang a lot of cynical love songs too, which didn't help. But then I was like, wow, there's really something noble about this. And then like getting into the industry, I'm like, I don't have to be good at math. Like there's calculators for that. Like I don't need any of this stuff. And that's back to this emotional response thing too, is like, what's most important is not the math stuff. It's most important is the human stuff. But I can see as far as your personality, just based on like the quick connection that we had, just, you know, jumping on a quick Zoom, it's like you connect with people and you might have some amazing mathematical skills, but tell me, like, was it the mathematical skills that helped you more or the personal skills that helped you more in your business? I think I know the answer.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Without a doubt, the personal stuff. And I find knowing myself, right? Like I get confidence out of being super prepared and having the technical side down to, you know, I don't question that for a second. And so I don't think clients think that, like you said earlier, people are emotional beings that sometimes think, right? Like they're going to buy based on emotion and then justify with logic, right? Like, so It's figuring out, and again, to be interested in them, to be curious, to be authentic and not, and transparent, right? Say what you don't do. And that's what, like, in my first conversations with people, when I describe our process before you become a client, it's two meetings. The first meeting, I ask roughly a million questions to understand how you think and feel about money, your money story, like the baggage that you kind of describe, why you think the way that you do. Anyway, where you're going, all those things. I ask those questions. Second meeting, we come back together and I had in black and white, here's what we heard. Did we get it right? Right. So that's the first step. It's like listening. So basic. I know we talk about it all the time, but
love it.
Cannot say it enough. And then I'm also going to tell you, like, if we're not the right fit, and like that, the whole process is such that they can feel like what it's like to work with me versus I explain it. You know, they actually get to feel the emotion and connectedness. And then likewise, I get to see, like, am I going to like working with this person for the next 25 years? You know, and to see them in retirement, to your point, that's this big responsibility and gift that we get to help people through the big milestones and help them, their kid. Like, it's a big relationship. And so to make sure, I have, you know, there's life is the finite number of people that you can work with. So figure out, like, okay, and use discernment, be smart, and don't be afraid of the power of no, and finding the right fit for everybody. And I'm a big believer there's the right person out there for whoever. You know, if you're looking for a stock picker, that's not me. If you're looking for alternative private equity, like, that's not me. So I'll point you and who can help you. But yeah, all that to say, the people stuff, it's all about that.
Yeah, that's awesome. But I would imagine that it didn't start that way. Like when you first started, like that, what were you using the typical strategies? I don't know what your first RIA was like, but were you, you know, basically like make your list of 100 friends and family, centers of influence, like network, all that stuff? Or was there, did you luck out and get like a quicker approach to getting there?
Well, I know some RIAs have the channels, you know, leads at a Schwab or TD Ameritrade where they, the investment consultants introduce you and bring you in to kind of pair you. And so that's a really nice training ground to just like understand how to close business and how to make those connections early on. And so that was one thing, that just a lot of reps of that. But I did love that because you're not choosing. You can't be as choosy, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it's a weird,
and they're usually, it's like they already want to buy something and they, it's kind of, I always tell my ladies, like, stop selling the box, which is, you know, the box is the product. It's like they don't want the box, but some people who they're looking online, they're looking for the box, right? So it's like, oh, what insurance? So then they come there very, very like, you know, one or like, I don't know, single-minded, I guess it is, where like, I have $250,000 I need to invest. And you're like, you want to look at the whole picture. They're like, no, I just want to know, where do I invest this? And you're like, dude, like, I cannot possibly advise you on that if I don't know the whole picture. But it's like, they're more like, they're putting you in a position of order taking, as opposed to, you know, the position of like actually an advisor role. Like I have clients who, you know, sometimes they have the orphan clients and they've been tossed around. They already feel like, you know, no one cares. And then they have this one product and then they're told like, call this orphan client and talk to them about their product. And like, no, it's like, you got to tell them, like, make them trust you again, because they're already feeling like they have all these doubts and they don't believe that anyone's going to give a hoot about them anymore. Right. So, this is what I mean by like shifting the whole like industry, the way that we do things. And then it's been, I don't know, 100 years, whatever, of like this type of engagement that, and it's shifting already, like definitely, but like that we proactively have to shift it from this like feel of the fact finder type of thing. Let me see where all your money is and tell you what to do with it or how much you have to invest and let's do it, versus, as they like to say, the holistic approach, which is, you know, thrown around a lot, but like of really understanding. Like, I love that you take the time to understand their story, their money story, and what's important to them and what their fears are and concerns first. And then it's like, cool, like, is this what you said? And then I think we can help you, or I think we can't. That makes sense. Yeah. Anything to add on that?
Absolutely. No, I think to your question of how do you start and how do you build from, you know, 15 years ago, I've always been drawn to it, and it's networking and it's following up, having coffees, people being curious, like that kind of, you know, building that COI group. My COIs have always looked different than the average, like not just accountants and lawyers, but business coaches and insurance people, I guess, are the classic. But anyway, building out that network early and then figure out who you like, who do you want to work with and share clients and then do a great job, obviously. And then putting your flag in the ground, you know, having specialization, but also for, I think it's now, 12 years I've been doing this Valentine's Day event. So like my network knows that the invite's coming out in the next couple of weeks, and it's not now virtual because that's just easier for me. And I pick a topic, how to love yourself well and how to take great care of yourself. And so super passionate about it. I sometimes have speakers. I sometimes, you know, present ideas myself, but it's just consistency. And it doesn't have to be a huge lift, but be consistent and you'll be extraordinary. You know, be clear about what you want. And maybe you don't love business development as much as I always have, and then find your own path, right? And if you're a service advisor that can work with somebody at your firm that loves business development, and you can take those clients, like have that be your strategy. And then, you know, every 90 days, meet with that person, figure out what you want it to look like. But like, just don't, you know, you can design it yourself to your strength. And for me, it's been, you know, all about relationships, all about authentic things that I'm caring about and that my clients care about. And then just being very disciplined, very clear, consistent, and excited about it. People feel it, I think.
Awesome. That's a good wrap up. I can't have nothing else except to say, hey, go talk to Jen. So awesome. Where can they find you or follow you or stalk you so they could, if they wanted any more?
Yes, LinkedIn for sure. And then Hemmingson Wealth Management is my firm name. It's also Metaphor, which I can tell that story at some point, but it's a beach house, and the founder of our firm with one of eight kids. Dad worked for the government, mom stayed home, so money wasn't always easy. And every summer they all piled into the station wagon. I tell her story more than she does. But so the 10 of them would go and they drive past this big house right on the ocean. And they say, wouldn't it be so nice if we all stayed together there, you know? And so her dad stayed for 13 years and then bought the Hemmingson. And wow. So it's this idea of, why are you working so hard? What is it? And get really clear on what is your Hemmingson. And then we can work backwards, make smart, small changes to achieve those big goals. And it's hopefully very empowering for clients, and it's so fun to get to do. And that's what especially women are great at talking about, like, why, what do you want? And slowing down, pausing, I just feel so lucky that it's what we do.
That's so awesome. I love that story. That's great. Well, thank you so much. Check her out. Find her on LinkedIn, Jen Dawson and Hemington.
Yes. And one thing I'll put a plug in for NAPFA, National Association of Personal Financial Advisors. I'm on the Women's Initiative. We have conversation circles. So feel free to, I think in February, we're doing one on mentoring. We have a mentorship program we co-founded last year. So
great.
Yeah.
Well, it's awesome. Well, thank you so much, Jen. And thank you all for joining us on Growing Your Financial Business the Women's Way. We'll see you next time.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.